Blog Talk Radio.
Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show was called Eagerly Pleased, Composed with Love by my nephew, Miles Sebastian. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you tonight?
How are you, Cindy? I'm not too bad.
Good. I know Nicole's going to help me with another production that we're doing, a little pitch for NBC for the sitcom. Of course, she's got my head spinning, and, you know, thank God I have a producer because she's the best, and I wouldn't even think of taking on a project of this magnitude without her.
Well, and as always, Cindy, it is my pleasure.
Okay, and I feel like I've got like eight balls in the air. The audiobook's just been done. The book's just been finished. This sitcom's on the fire. I feel like if there's one more ball in the air, I'm just going to fall down and go boom. So I'm just laughing because you're always filled with such enthusiasm, and you just really, you know, I just really needed to hear your enthusiasm today, as always.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I'm really, really excited about this. I think that it'll be a great project for you and a great project for us to work on together outside of the radio show. And you know what? It's you know, let's just cross our fingers and hope that the universe kind of guides us, you know, right into the arms of something great and spectacular.
Sounds good to me. Now,
that's
Nicole, people have been asking me if you're still loving your new job. Is it getting better? Because I got an email today. Is she loving her new job? Is it getting better?
Yeah, because I was so unenthusiastic about it for so long. You know what? It is getting better. And luckily, the thing that has changed as far as that is that, you know, I think that part of the reason why I was so not liking it for so long was because I was bored. They weren't giving me a lot to do, you know, that like my days just dragged out where I just kind of stared out the window and I was just kind of like, ugh, every time I went in there because, you know, because I was new and there was only so much I could do. And they were in the middle of you know, doing a couple of things with a couple of large universities. And they really didn't have time to sit there and say, okay, listen, this is how you do this and this is how you do that and this is what we expect and this is what we need. It was just kind of like, okay, listen, I'm going to show you how to do this one thing. And if this one thing comes up, you're going to take care of it. So I would work for like a half an hour out of the day, and then I'd be done, you know? So I think a lot of it was boredom. Now they're giving me a ton more work, and actually I found out from one of the bigger bosses that it's kind of unheard of at this point in the game, but, you know, upon hiring with no experience, they're actually going to be giving me my own school versus just having me aid with the larger school that they had signed up around the time that they hired me originally for. So they obviously think that I can handle the work, and they think that I'm smart enough to do it, and especially when things went awry with this larger client, I was actually able to step in and kind of, you know, play Superwoman a little bit. So, you know, I've definitely, I think, shown them what I can do, and they're giving me a lot more work. So now my days are kind of flying by, and it's getting a lot better, and I'm going to have a little bit more of a positive outlook on it. Instead of just looking at the paycheck, I'm kind of, you know, looking forward to doing certain things and accomplishing certain things there. So it's nice.
Okay,
thank you for asking.
Isn't it funny? Isn't it funny how older souls, when they go to work, they want to work, you know?
Yeah.
They don't just want to collect
like,
a paycheck.
I was like, one day literally in that place, I sat there, I drew a picture. You know, I You know, I wrote a short story. You know, I listened to music.
I got paid to watch Netflix on my phone.
I got paid to watch Netflix on my phone.
Oh,
you know,
man.
I mean, and that's what I did, like, literally, like, all day long. I was like, if I'm going to watch Netflix, I'd rather do it on my couch. You know,
yeah, no
I mean,
kidding.
I have to be doing something. You know, and luckily, like I said, you know, they're throwing more work at me now than I could actually do in a single day, which is nice. And, you know, I always have something to do when they're constantly keeping me moving. So now I'm actually starting to warm up to it and kind of, you know, embracing it a little bit more.
Wow. Well, I could see that my husband, the 680 number, is online.
Oh,
I think he's in
yes,
the Hamptons today. I haven't seen him all day, so maybe
you
could put him on
that
first.
He's a 680? Because I don't know after all this time that TJ is that 680. Come
this
on, Cindy.
True. I
all
know.
Right,
well,
let's
you're
go
just
say
so
hi
smart.
To TJ. Hold on, TJ.
Hello, everyone. I don't want to take up too much time. Everything is great. I did return one of Cindy's birthday gifts today, so I did accomplish something in that vein. I'll see you for a little chicken tonight, and I'm excited, and I hope you have a really good show. I'm glad Nicole is warming up to her new job. And, we're going to go skiing with her one time somewhere where it's not
good.
Crowded. All right, we'll all go skiing somewhere sometime, perhaps next winter, but not now.
Awesome.
That
all right,
sounds
everyone,
great.
You have
okay,
a
dear, I'll see you later.
Okay, bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Now, Nicole, it's so funny. We'll all go skiing. Or you and I might sit and write a bestseller in the room.
Probably. We'll Stephen King it while everybody else is on the mountain. That's fine.
That's okay with me, too. Now, I can see we have a lot of callers tonight, and I don't
yes,
even know
do.
Where 786 is. Do you know where in the universe the 786
no
area code is?
I think it might be Florida, but you know what? We'll see when we pick it up. And as usual, I do not screen the first call, so we'll just see who's waiting for us. Hello, you're on the air. Hello?
Hi, this is Cindy. You're on the air.
Hi. This is Samantha.
Samantha, where are you calling from?
Miami.
Oh, so Nicole was right. It is Florida.
Yeah.
Okay, so you nice and warm in Miami today?
Yes, a little too warm. I mean,
that's
Miami,
what people are saying.
They're...
You're in the 80s, right? You're in the upper
yeah.
80s? Wow.
And I can only imagine how it's going to be in the summertime.
Wow, I can't believe it. I mean, you know, one of my clients I was on the phone with today, and she said it was really, really hot in Florida. So I'm like, okay. Now, Samantha, you've been waiting a while, so there must be something on your mind if you've been waiting so patiently to speak to us, so you can just kind of let us know what's on your mind.
Yes, well, I really wanted to know about school and love life if you have time. If not, that's fine.
Okay, now, I love that. First, we have to support ourselves, women, and then we can worry about love life. So I'm glad school comes first.
Yeah, I actually just, I was going through this very, very long process of getting hired at a school as an after-school coordinator. Basically, it's like kind of like a glorified babysitter, really. But I got the job finally. I mean, it's been almost like a month and some change going through that process, but I finally was cleared, and I would start Monday, and I'm like, okay, great, now I can save up money, get a car, save up money, go back to school, because that's one of the reasons why I wasn't in school for this long, because I didn't have the funds, and my GPA now sucks because I failed 2 math classes, and I'm just like, Lord, just please make a way, because I cannot continue not to be in school. I really want to
well, can you, like, do some YouTube tutor courses online or kind of see if you could study
actually,
online a bit before you take them?
I actually did. There's this website called, EDX. It's an actual, like, online courses from big universities where they give you different courses, and I want to study law, and I've been looking at some of them and doing some of the coursework, so I'm kind of ahead of you with that one.
Okay, good, but do your math. I know we don't love math, but and I'm not a great math whiz myself, but in this day and age of the Internet, there's so much you can self-teach and so much you can tutor yourself. So if you could sort of take, like, even a half an hour each day or 20 minutes a day to study your math, you may find that all of a sudden it gets a lot easier for you. So, you know, you don't want that to stand in your way, because I really see you're going to do very, very well in school this time around. The glorified babysitting job looks like you're going to actually like it at some level, because you know it's not your forever job. If you thought that was going to be forever, I think it would be very depressing. But
yeah,
I think because you know it's sort of temporary and it's helping your ultimate goal, looks like some of the kids will really take to you, and there'll be that little loving interaction between you and the children. So I actually see your job being very good, and you're in a very good five-year period called the world, in which anything you want is yours. So try to do the job that you're hired to do to your best of your ability, and make the most of it and learn what you can and do it joyfully, because the universe always, always rewards us for doing our job well, even if it's less than what we want to be doing. In the future, you do have a husband, card. I hope you want to get married. And there's children of your own. So your card in your future is very, very good, and law school looks very good to you too, but you do have to keep your grades up there. So again, while you're not in school, you could use the time to learn a lot so that when you are in school, it's a little bit easier. You're very, very bright, by the way, according to these cards. It just takes you a little longer to learn things, that doesn't mean you're stupid. I'm very much like that. I have to grasp the overall concept of something, and then I could learn the parts. It's very hard for me to learn the way people usually teach, which is parts, 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 and then you get the whole. I sort of have to have a feeling for the whole first. So you might need to just study on your own so that when you go to school, you sort of have more of a grasp of what the whole concept is. But you're going to do well this time around. And a nice man in the picture. But, of course, concentrate on your school and your career. But you have really good cards. You're actually a pleasure to read, by the way.
Thank you.
There's nothing bad in your card. I've seen some really wicked cards today in private readings. So if I turn one more round of those cards, I'm thinking, oh, boy, yours are really, really going toward the future. You're very intuitive. If you would go to your intuition, that would be good. You have a grandmother who passed away, by the way?
Yes, I do.
Because your grandma is saying she loves you very much, and she looks forward to going to your job with you, which is cracking me up. So you may feel your grandma's presence with you around the kids. So no one's going to mess with you there. So she's a woman who wishes she could have had the opportunities you have to be going to college, to maybe be a lawyer. You know, you have so much opened up in front of you. And things that are harder for people, like maybe it's harder for you to get your degree, it's harder to get your math, but people who work hard usually are very good at their jobs when they get them, because we, you know, you did have to work that much harder. But your grandma, you know, misses you. Do you miss her?
I mean, I really, really wanted to see her before she passed. She was, I'm from Haiti, and she was sick, and I guess she went to Haiti, and I really didn't have much of a relationship with her, and that really, really did upset me, because, I mean, I wanted that.
And don't worry, you could still have it with her now, and know that she's right on board with you. She hasn't liked the men in the past that you've picked, so maybe...
Yeah, I haven't liked them either.
Okay, good. So what she's basically telling you is learn to stand on your own two feet without a man. It's the same thing that I would tell you, and she's reinforcing it so that, you know, you never have to stay with a man you don't want to. And that you could support yourself, and she believes in you. And again, she's the person who's going to gift you with a soulmate. So be a little bit patient; it'll be here. And a little bit budgeting of money. Don't spend so much. Put more aside. And she promises to give you a sign when you start your work on Monday. So pay attention to her. You know, it's funny. It could be just a butterfly. It could be something simple, but you'll see something that you'll know is her. And, you know, she loves you very much and believes in you. So it's nice to hear her. She believes in you. So I hope you believe in yourself as much.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome, and good luck to you. We love women being educated. And I always say, you know, in the history of the world, my father wasn't particularly a great father or a great person to me, but he educated me. And for that, I'm on my knees, because if you want to set women free, educate them. So,
well, if anybody free, educate them.
Right. I mean, really. So let's, you know, Samantha, call in the future and let us know how you liked your job, by the way. We want to hear people doing the best out of their, getting the best out of their jobs, like, and doing the best they can.
Oh, I definitely will. And I'm hoping that as soon as I can, like you said, budget my money wisely, because I was thinking, okay, it's part-time, but I'm thinking, okay, how many months can I save in order to go back to school? And hopefully by January, I'll have a set schedule of classes ready to go.
Good girl. Well, thank you for calling in. Go swim or something. I mean, it's warm where you are. Go swim. Good luck to you, and thank you for calling in. Bye.
Bye-bye.
I love that she wanted her education question asked first. Don't you love that?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I love that. I love that.
I was just talking to somebody today about education, too, so.
So good. And, you know, I'm a big advocate of please, please, please. And I'm not always saying you have to go to college. I mean, you could self-teach yourself, but, you know, teach yourself, you know, learn.
Absolutely.
But it's the learning process that's really, really important. Now, I see we have a Kelly, and she's from Long Island, huh?
Yes, we've got Kelly in Long Island, who's going to be talking to you next, Cindy. And she's got a couple of work things that she's you know, a little bit concerned with. And she just wants to know what direction, you know, things are heading in over on her career front. So right now we're going to speak to Kelly.
You know, isn't it funny?
Hello,
we've got
Kelly?
The work and the career today.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hi,
Hello?
Kelly. You there?
Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Kelly. So things are not great at work. Is that what the story is?
No, things are okay.
Okay, good. That's better.
I feel, I think they're okay. I feel like things are just a little bit static right now, and that there were things that were promised that I'm not sure will come to fruition.
Have you asked about the promised things?
No.
Okay, now, isn't it funny? I love the manipulators of the world. They promise us everything, and they give us nothing. And then we never ask. The older souls, we're just so polite. We want everybody to like us. We're just so nice. We don't say, so what happened to the raise? What happened to the health insurance? What happened to the new promised job and work you offered me? You're going to have to ask.
Okay.
And I know, you know, but, you know, we have to say what we mean what we say without being mean about it. But it is time, you know, you were promised, and if you don't, you know, sort of rock the boat a bit and ask, you need a little bit of courage here. It's funny, you've got an unusual alignment of cards. There's the two cards. One is the sun, a little naked girl and a horse, and one's the star, a naked grown-up girl. And those cards indicate courage. You need to have the courage you had as a child to ask, so what's the story here? In work, women have to start thinking like a man a little more, and, you know, men in the past, when they were the sole provider of a family, really had to ask for their raises and ask for things. And, you know, women sometimes are just reluctant to ask for what they were supposed to be given. It looks promising if you ask, by the way.
Okay.
So they're happy with your work. They're happy with your job, what you're doing. There's really no negatives in your cards, except they're really probably not going to, you know, they're really happy with what you're doing. But they may not. Is it a money issue that they're supposed to be giving you, or is it more work or a different position?
No, it's money and possibly a different position.
Okay, they have
one,
the money. They
I guess one goes with the other.
They can afford to give it to you, by the way.
Okay.
So, you know, sometimes, you know, corporate America or companies are very busy acting like they can't afford to give people raises and money.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case here. The company, who you're working for, are doing very well. Do you know that?
Yes.
Okay, so, of course, they're not going to give you the raise if you don't ask for it.
Right.
And why should they?
Right.
And, again,
okay.
And I know you're a person of your word. So if Kelly says, I'm giving somebody a raise in 6 months, Kelly gives a raise in 6 months. She doesn't forget she said it. She doesn't, you know, renege on her promise. But most people are not you.
Okay.
So you have to ask for it. But it really looks like you will do very well in this company, and they like you very much, so... don't hesitate to, you know, bring up the money. You know, are you uncomfortable about asking for it?
I don't know if it's that I'm uncomfortable. I feel like you said, I'm someone of my word, so I you wouldn't have to ask me.
And you don't want to embarrass somebody. Now,
right.
The narcissists of the world know how we think. They know we don't want to embarrass them. They
right.
know that we're, like, polite and nice, and we want people to like us, so we don't rock the boat, and we don't ask for what's ours. And those are the traits that make the older souls not make as much money as they should or get everything that they should in life. So asking for it is one of the things that we just have to learn to do.
Okay.
I know it's uncomfortable. I feel uncomfortable. But
mm-hmm.
it's something, you know, it's funny. I have clients that come for reading, and you could always tell the people like Kelly. They hand me the money before the reading. Like, they just want to have the... And the other people, you know, you feel uncomfortable asking for it, and it's an odd thing, but older souls are very uncomfortable about asking about money. And I think that's brainwashing, by the way. I think we've been brainwashed over the millenniums to not ask for what's ours.
Okay.
So just ask, and it looks very good. And really, it looks like you could move up in this job.
Okay, that's good.
Little bit of courage. Can you do us a favor and call in and let us know when you get
sure.
a raise? You know,
sure.
And you just needed to hear verification that you had to ask.
Yes.
I mean, you'd be waiting. You know what? You'll be calling in 100 years from now. Well, you know, I'm just wondering if they're going to give me that raise they promised me in 2014, you know?
That's funny.
And I'm just saying, sometimes we just have to ask. And believe me, younger souls ask for raises when they haven't done their job. They haven't come to work for 6 weeks and they ask for a raise. I mean, we don't
right.
want to be those kinds of people, but, you know, they're just not you. So,
okay.
And why should they be? You know, everybody's trying to hold on to a dime. It makes no sense to me. Have a good worker. Why wouldn't you want to reward them?
Right.
But remember, most Americans are very unhappy with their job, 80% in the latest studies, because they're underpaid, overworked, and underappreciated.
Oh, can I ask you,
sure.
can you see if the people that are around me at work, if they can be trusted?
Okay. Now, you have very good gut instincts. And I will tell you this. There's a few people you've got to watch your back with. And it's not that they're really bad. It's just that, you know, you have to play a little more poker and not reveal everything that you're thinking. Are you getting better at being a little quiet when you...
No.
Okay, because what happens is you think you're going to get an army backing you here. If I say it, they're all going to be on my side. Not really. You'll be hanging by the cross all by yourself in that place if you speak up too much. So...
okay.
It's best if you have something to say, you say it to the people you need to say it to. But know that nobody's going to back you. And they're a little bit fearful, the people. I'm not saying they're evil or bad. But in a bad economy, and it isn't a bad economy, but people think it is, people tend not to back people. I have way too many clients that everybody, you know, oh, yeah, they're all going to speak up with me. And meanwhile, that's the only person talking.
Right.
There's particularly one person, and I think you know who that person might be, kind of on the sweet side, by the way, not like somebody that, you know, you right away can tell can't be trusted, but don't say everything, you know.
Okay.
I know that's hard for you.
Okay.
Okay, good luck, and let us know what happens.
Thank you, I will.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Did you love all the intrigue with business and in the business world, and all who you have to watch and who, you know, it's kind of.
Oh, you know what? Well, what's actually kind of even funny about that is that one thing that I love about doing this show is that even when I don't ask a question, I still get answers. You know, and I think it's funny that Kelly kind of just, you know, because I mean, like Kelly and I are very, very similar. In that, you know, while we're being promised things, we really want to make sure that we're going to get the things that we're promised, you know. And, you know, financially, you know, I'm right on board with where Kelly's at. You know, I'm a little bit premature in my requests, kind of like you said, but at the same time, you know, it's like, you know, again, promises are being made, and I want to make sure that you know, they're going to transpire, and that I'm not wasting a year, you know, just to not have those things come to fruition. But also, there is, you know, a couple of people in my workplace, and I was telling my mother about this earlier, that
you know, there's one that is just kind of like the bane of my existence, where I just, like, I hear the sound of her voice and my skin just kind of crawls, and my nail beds go white as I just kind of grab the sides of my desk, you know, just, but oh, God, she just drives me absolutely crazy. Then there's one really, really sweet girl, and then there's one girl that I can't really make a fix on her. You know, and she's a supervisor, unfortunately, so it's like one minute I think that we're on the same page, and the next minute it's like not, and I you know what, I think that Kelly asked, you know, the best question, you know, as far as trusting and this and that and everything else, and I just got my answer, too. Is that, you know what, you can say some stuff, but don't say everything, because not everybody can be trusted, so now I
right.
know. Thank you, Kelly, for asking the question.
And I always try to make sure people realize that you know, not everybody, you know, can be trusted. And sometimes they're very sweet. And those are the ones that fool us. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, the best and most reliable indicator is your gut. And when you're
yep.
saying something to someone, you got to pay attention to, like, their body language and what they might be saying or not saying. I find when you're working with people, the best thing you could say is sort of say nothing. So when people would ask me when I worked in a restaurant about things, they go, what can I tell you? You know how people are. So I would say, I didn't say anything. I didn't agree. I didn't disagree. I just said,
yep.
well, you know how people are. So sometimes we have to
mm-hmm.
learn how to say something that doesn't really say anything, but not necessarily get caught up in things, and especially in a moment of weakness, if you're having a bad day, and those are the days we tend to, you know, talk up too much.
Yep.
You know. Again, you know, learning to play poker, strategic, a little bit, like, don't reveal everything, don't say everything. Older souls by nature are like an open book. They just,
that
like,
is true.
Everything they're thinking, they blab, you know. I live with my mom. I don't know who my mother was, by the way, and I never knew what she thought or what she, because that woman didn't reveal anything. So you think I'm learning to, I live with a woman like that, you think I would have learned some of those skills, huh? You
probably
know,
not, no.
No, didn't rub off on me. But sometimes we just need to not say everything. And most of our jobs aren't going to be forever. So, like, enjoy it today. Don't worry about, is this the only job in the universe? Because most people, my clients seem to be like, what if something happens to this job? What if I could lose this job? I go, so you'll get another one? Like, there's no shortage of work on the planet. Relax. You will get another
yep.
one. So, again, I'm glad that today seems to be focusing on work and career. So
uh-huh.
that's important. It's important. And
yes.
Now I think Jody, who I love, and you love Jody. Jody's like,
oh,
Jody could
God,
have a sitcom.
Jody.
We could write a sitcom around Jody. Maybe we should.
We really, I'm not for anything. Remember how I was saying, don't put all your eggs in a single basket, sort of thing. You know, let's be broad and let's be vibrant, and you know, let's do a couple of different things. I think that we should get together and write, you know, and it, forget it. Just, you know, just invite Jody, you know, onto a conference call and just give her a topic and let her go. You know, because I think that we've got a surefire hit right there.
Really?
You just unleash her, that's it. You know, just load her up. What you do is you have to tell Jody that she's not allowed to talk. And then you have to come up with a whole bunch of controversial stuff that you know she's bound to disagree with. And then you say, okay, Jody, it's your turn. Go. And you just see what comes out, because it'll be fun.
That's funny. Now,
yep.
let's see what Jody has to say. She's had a hard
oh,
time,
goodness.
So why don't you explain some of it?
Okay, well, for the callers who don't remember, Jody is absolutely hysterical, but she also has got a lot of drama going on, and we were all kind of laughing, even though her drama wasn't funny last time she was on the air. And I believe she actually did mention you laughing when she was talking just to you. You know, and she's like, Cindy, it's not even funny, but, you know, she just had you rolling away with her presentation.
No, it was
you know?
Funny.
But anyways, she talked to you back in December. Then, you know, I believe she emailed you in March, and, you know, she called into the show in the meantime. And basically, you know, she had this horrible accident. You know, she was seeing that guy, and the guy kind of screwed her and all this kind of stuff, which you already know. But now she's got this unsettling feeling, and she wants to know what's going to happen, Cindy, because she doesn't know what's going to happen or what is currently happening. Because
with
she's
the
like
same
this,
guy or with her health? Or, you know, with the
no,
guy?
No, just with everything in general. She feels like there's something going on or there's something brewing, and she's not sure if it's currently in her airspace or if it's just leading up to this in the future, the near future. But she just wants to know what's up, Cindy.
Okay, good.
Hello, Jody. You are on the air.
Hi, Nicole. And Nicole, you're right. There's no way in hell I can keep my mouth shut. It would never happen.
I told you.
Hi, Jody. Well, that's why we love you. You're real. We love people who are real. We were just talking about those people that are so sneaky, and you never know what they're, you know, what they're up to. With Jody, you'd know. She'd say right to your face what she'd say behind your back. You know, that's what I like.
First of all, if I don't like you, I'm not talking to you. Don't come near my space. I call it the electric doggy fence. Like you get too close. I don't like you. Don't even say hello to me. I don't like anybody anymore. After this, Cindy, I'm not. See, I'm laughing. You're making me laugh. But this car accident.
Well,
I hate everybody.
Well, you know what I say is 7 out of 10 people aren't all that great. So, you know,
nine.
Okay, you've just been hitting the 7 out of 10, you know, all the time lately.
Listen to this. First of all, I'm so glad. I look at your book and everything else. I love listening to Nicole, so I'll say that first. I got my hair done today. Do you know that MF's wife was sitting right next to me getting her hair done? Now she's using my hairdresser.
Well, she wants to look like you. This is the man that you had the affair with? This is his wife?
Remember the one I sent you the picture with? And you said, well, now I know why.
Right. Well, now she wants to be you. So you should But you should take it as flattery. The point is, you know, the man should know if he's a cheater, he shouldn't cheat in the same neighborhood that, you know,
but
his wife frequents.
But the thing is, frequent. I told you what happened the last time. I was in there, she was in there, and his new girlfriend was in there. My hairdresser doesn't want to do her hair. I don't care. I haven't seen him. I haven't heard from him since that fight in February. But I don't know why. You know, like, I haven't talked to anybody. I've stayed away from everybody to take all the stress off of me so I can get myself better. But I got to tell you, Cindy, the past two days, the butterflies in the stomach, I don't know what it is, but it's something with a man. It's not me.
But it's not a bad. I'm not seeing bad things in your cards, by the way. I'm seeing that this man is over, and I hope you now, you know, try to find a man of your own that you don't have to share.
Well, I'm not talking about him. I could care less. I call him. He was never a diamond. I call him a dirty pair of shoelaces.
Okay,
that's
good.
What I tell him. Could care less. He could crawl back underneath the rock where he came out from. I told you what it is. Trailer trash with cash. That's exactly what I
think. Trailer trash with cash. Why don't we write a sitcom called Trailer Trash with Cash?
You can have as much cash as you want. You can drive a brand new Mercedes. You can own your own business. You're still stuck in bed, and you're still a piece of garbage. That's the way I look at it.
Well, for you, I have, you know, this is a nice year coming up this summer and things like that. You look like you're getting better, and your health should get better. So I hope that's some good news for you, and you will be feeling better. And
I'm starting to, but now I went to a walker. So I've had a walker for about 2 weeks. So I went from the cane and the crutch to the walker, back at the gym, getting the body strength back with a trainer. I don't care about that. I just, again, last night, Cindy, dreamt of him, thought of him.
I'm not saying he's not thinking about you, but I'm not seeing anything that you have to worry about with him. He's, you know, just don't even think about
him.
Why
did I think of him? Not once, but a lot. I can't stand this man.
Well, it doesn't mean he's not, you know, you had a connection with him, and I'm not saying he's not thinking of you, or maybe his wife's thinking of you, or maybe his girlfriend's thinking of you, and you're just getting some messages, but I see that chapter really closed, and, you know, the universe gave you a lot on your plate, so, you know, right now try to concentrate on yourself, but I do really see a nice relationship in the future for you, so... you got to get better first because you're not even really going out of the house much, are you?
No, I've been lately, though.
Good.
I finally got my car last night, finally, brought a car. So I'm good with that. It's just that when I pass his shop, I just want to take my car and crash right into his building.
Well, we got to get rid of some of that because he's not even worth that kind of anger.
Oh,
so. let's waste the anger on people worth it. I mean, he's a train wreck, you know, and a train wreck ready to happen. So you don't even have to like think about.
Well, let me ask you this: is this man? Does this man ever think of me?
Yes, of course he does, and that's why when he's thinking of you, you get his messages. But
I'm really asking you. Is this
and I'm really telling you because if you're trying not to think about him, you don't care about him, but he pops into your head. What happens is you begin to hear his thoughts or that he's thinking of you. So again,
is that what this is?
That's what happens, and
because
you know,
think that at my age, this is the worst man I've ever met.
Yeah, well, there's no shortage of those. You know, I'm sure we have a lot of listeners that could tell you, well,
no.
This one? He's
this is the low-down, dirtiest man I've ever met. But because I'm so disgusted with him on him acting not like a man, I didn't understand why I would possibly think of him. Now, the other night, I woke up dreaming of him, and I'm like, here we go again. What the hell is this?
Well, that's what happens when someone thinks about us. You know, you're pretty telepathic. You're pretty psychic. I'll give an example, you know, not a negative example, but I might think about you, and an hour later you're calling. You know,
oh,
it's
okay,
that kind of thing, because you're thinking of me and I'm hearing it. You're,
okay,
you know.
He didn't forget about me.
No. Well, first of all, his wife isn't letting him forget about you.
How does she know about me?
I don't know, but she does know. So the point is, some of it's just a big mess going on.
Care about their mess. They can keep their mess in their own home. I could care less about that. I wanted to know, does he still sometimes think of me?
Yes, of course. And that's,
okay, now the next. The true love of my life, I've told you 100 times, is that guy Mike. You said stay away. He is.
Do you remember in the reading, you go, well, what's the guy's name? And I go, Mike.
Yep.
You know, and you were laughing so hard that he came through.
Yeah, well, my whole life's a laugh. He is the true love of the only man I've ever met that if he wasn't married, I would have went to Vegas and married him.
And again, we got to stay away from the married men, please.
Well, I have. I haven't gone here.
Because nothing good comes from that.
I saw him the other day. He's been real nice. Like when I got the car, texting, I want you to be careful. I want you to go slow. Good luck. Like he's not been that crazy. I want to know, does that man have feelings for me? Because this is 3 years now.
Yes, he does. But again, he's married, so we're not going after any more married men.
No, I haven't. I've been good.
All right, because what I see is an available man for you. And again, you have to overcome some of your commitment issues because you chase after people who aren't available. So, you know, what you're finding out is, so, and I'm not saying you don't have soulmate connections with these people, but these people, you know, if they're not in good marriages, they're being brought someone to show them, like, let's get out of your marriage karmically correct, let's not fool around, and let's have a better love. And
listen, John, I had no connection with. I had no connection with that man. I only thought he was good looking. That is the only reason why I slept with him. Nothing else but that.
Well, what I always say is pretty and good looking is interesting for 15 minutes. You got to have a little more to offer the world than that.
Exactly. It wasn't John. I only did it to get over Mike.
Well,
but it didn't work.
And again, it doesn't work. So you can't go from a soulmate down to like a narcissistic rung on the ladder of love and think it's going to replace the other. So I think you've learned that. You know, pray for that soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and
commit. Where the hell is he? I'm still waiting now.
All right, but you got to stop with chasing after unavailable people. And stand on your own 2 feet a little bit. Get yourself healthy.
I haven't gone near anybody since February.
Good.
I haven't bothered with anybody. It just bothered me that I'm just waiting for this available man. And I wanted to know why I was dreaming of that douchebag.
And you're not the only one. So everybody who's listening, We'll have the same thing where they're thinking about.
I just have a quick question, though, Cindy.
Go ahead.
Jody.
What? What?
If you're sitting in seclusion and you're not going near anybody and you're not saying anybody, how the fuck do you want to meet somebody?
Well, no. The thing is, no single man. No. Wait a minute, Nicole. No single man approaches me. They don't. They don't talk to me. They don't.
You know what?
Hello.
I will agree with you to an extent. I am sure no single men approach you. But you want to know what?
Nicole, I'll go out with you on a Friday night walker or whatever. I could care less. And we will go to a nice restaurant bar, and you will see there will be 10 men. Three of them will be married. That will be the only three that come near me. You will see what I'm talking about.
But that's the vibe you're putting out there.
I would be talking to you, Nicole. I would not be looking around the room.
You're putting it. It's a vibe. You know what? Because I did the exact same thing. When I wanted something, but I was afraid of it, or I was like prime example, right before I met my girlfriend. Guess what? I wanted to be with somebody, and I kept saying, I want the right person, I want the right person, I want a girlfriend, I want a girlfriend, you know? And I kept saying it, but you know what? When push came to shove, I wasn't letting go of the past. I wasn't letting go of a person that I should have been letting go of. And you know what? That right there was my block.
Nicole, have you seen what the single men look like in this town? They look like bridge trolls. Like, I should go underneath the bridge to see whatever walked out of a box. Have you seen what these men look like?
And Jody happens to be a very beautiful woman, so very sexy. Yes, she is. So,
Jody, how old are you?
57.
But she does. She looks like the most beautiful young woman you could ever see.
No, I'm just saying. Well, I know.
Why?
And again, if you saw her, she radiates pure sexuality. So, and she just does it all very naturally. So that that's the problem. She's just incredibly sexy to look at. And
what? I'm every married man's fantasy.
No, you're not going to be a married man's fantasy.
Well, obviously.
Such problems.
Yeah, but what you're saying, Jody, you know what? We should just replay Jody's last conversation, Cindy, with me.
Right.
It's just replay the whole last conversation. It's the same exact thing.
I want to know.
If you're saying only ugly people are going to come to you, guess what? Only ugly people are going to come to you.
No, I didn't say only ugly
people. Oh, no, you just said, and I quote, have you seen the men in this town?
Yeah, have you?
What?
Have you?
Yes, I have seen the men in this town.
I will show you.
I've seen some very unattractive people out there, but I've also seen some very attractive people out there.
I haven't yet. Bring them over.
Jody, I think we answered Jody's question, and we do have a lot of other calls, so I want to get to another caller. But Jody, get well, and love is coming, but you also have to just, not even be tempted by a married man. The universe is waiting for you to turn down a married man.
All right.
As a sisterhood of women, you got to say, sorry, you're married.
This is not happening.
One more second. Sure.
She knows about me?
She what? His wife knows about you, absolutely.
She does.
Yes. So,
got to find another hair salon.
I think so.
I think so.
Good night, Jody. Feel better. We love you. We love you. Thank you for the laugh of the night.
Bye.
We love you. Bye.
Bye.
Now, we really did need that laugh, didn't we? I mean, sometimes it's just, again, we have to say no to married men, that's what I'm saying. Now, Nicole, I see that you didn't screen the next caller. Would you like to go over to the next caller for me? I'm not sure if Nicole's still on board here. Hello? Hello, it's Cindy. You're live on the air. Hello.
Hi, it's Leah. I'm from California. I had the neck surgery last year. I was afraid I wouldn't be able to talk, and my cousin has attended your workshops on the island.
I know exactly who you are. Well, I'm so glad I have time for you tonight. How are you, Leah? You feeling better?
I don't know. been a hellacious year. And
you had a lot on your plate.
Yeah, and you, and I know I'm on the air, but I'm fine about it, is that you gave my cousin a message to tell me I was sexually abused. And it's been hell because I was triggered in some workshop about something else and all this stuff has come up. And I feel like it's becoming a spiritual battle. I have had really dreams that I can't even explain. It was like me staring death in the face, but like an energy force, and me feeling like primal fear, and I can't even explain it.
Yes,
and
I can.
I feel like my evil grandmother is like sabotaging me, because every time I get ahead or feel better, I get knocked down, including to the point where I fell and gave myself a concussion by accident. And I feel like she's sabotaging, and I've called on my grandfather to stop her, but I don't know if I'm...
Grandfather card definitely came through, and again, it's a very hard year when people face sexual abuse. It's the dreams are bad, the darkness, it is really the darkest aspect of life, but, I don't know if this is comforting to you or not, but you're among a huge sisterhood and brotherhood of human beings who have been sexually abused, so you're not alone in this. The problem is that you're going through some of it's going to keep surfacing. You did meet a soulmate. Is he still in your life?
Yes, it's been hell, like you said. I had a question if he was like a high soulmate or whatever, and you had said all our crap would come up. Well, it's all come up, and we're finally working through it with a third party. And, I feel the connection is still there. I've been fight or flight reactions, but I always come back. So we definitely have a bond, and we're working through it.
And that's what's bringing up these feelings. Unhealed issues surface mm-hmm. when a soulmate comes. So some of that is coming up in you, and, part of it is you don't want to face some of the things that are there. Oh, who wants to? It is a hell that year of going through this. But it looks to me from these cards you're through the worst of the nightmare of it, by the way. So there's light at the end of the tunnel here. And you are very psychic yourself. Your grandma's being locked away in a place she can't be hurting you. So don't even think it's her anymore. It's not her. It's your own demons coming up that are a little bit frightening and a little bit scary. And again, you hurt yourself. Sometimes people would rather have physical pain than face the pain and the agony of sexual abuse. It's not unusual that people get sick, they get hurt. You're going through all the normal stages. There is a wonderful book called The Courage to Heal.
Right.
An Amazon, you could get The Courage to Heal. There's also the audio tape of it's very good. And I have a client who came to me, and he was a soldier, and he went to Afghanistan. The most wonderful guy. And he came here for a reading, and it was very clear he had been sexually abused by his own mom, and he was going through a really hard time. And I recommended he listen to that audio tape, and that was about 6 months ago. And over the 6 months, he's just emerged to be, like, really so healed and so happy. He'll have his dark moments, and then, he does his little homework a half an hour a day on this topic. You don't have to do all day long, a half an hour a day. You read the book, you think about it a half an hour a day, and then you put it on the shelf and you go about your life. But it really is a healing book, and to watch him just come into his own has been just an amazing experience for me. And, he answered a thing about post-traumatic stress disorder after the war, mm-hmm. and, he said to the psychiatrist at the VA, I had that before the war. That's been my childhood. And know that you're having some post-traumatic stress disorder. That's what you're going through. And just try to get through it and, maintain your soulmate love. Hang in there because, really, you're going to get through the worst of this.
I just feel like somebody out there somewhere does not want me to talk. So every time I'm I just feel it. And I don't know, you're saying of the demons inside me, but I just feel like
somebody
doesn't want me talking.
Well, the whole thing of sexual abuse is why it goes on and on and on, is everybody denies it, represses it, suppresses it, and it's the pink elephant in the room nobody talks about. And anybody who's been sexually abused has a very, 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 very strong don't talk, don't say, never bring it up. And we have a fear that if we talk about it, we're going to die. Because obviously we might have been threatened by that. Someone might have threatened to hurt us if we spoke up. So it's universal to sexually abused people to have a fear of speaking up. And know that we're here on Earth to learn to speak up. And I promise nothing bad will happen to you because you speak the truth. Nothing bad. And, you know, what Jesus said was, what we bring forth will heal us. What we don't bring forth will destroy us. We have no choice but to bring this forth and to talk about it. And it's a long and slow process. And I try to speed people through it. My own memories of sexual abuse took 8 years to surface. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemies. I did it alone so that I could probably become the world's expert on sexual abuse and how you can heal from it. And you have to talk. And you have to let it out. And, you know, shout it from rooftops. You tell it to someone you trust.
And well, I feel like, yeah, I was tortured in every possible abusive way in addition to that. And I feel like there's stuff that I will never go, I will go to my grave never feeling safe, never feeling paranoid, never.
But that,
I mean, I just don't see how that will heal. I mean, am I just, you know.
No, you will heal. You have to come to that moment. I remember the primal moment of seeing myself as a young child, a young four-year-old, and going, what a remarkable being she must have been to survive all of this. And embracing that four-year-old and just sort of rolling on the floor for an hour saying, I'm safe, no one could hurt me, I'm safe. You haven't had that moment yet, that moment when you finally realize you're safe now. And again, if you're going to think your grandma could hurt you from the grave, evil people can't even approach us. They can't even, they're so locked away. I mean, sometimes they threaten me, the dead, they're nasty. When I'm talking about the sexual abuse they did, they're cursing me out from the other side, they're going to kill me. They can't hurt me. They can say all they want, they can't hurt. They're not in a position to hurt me, and as a matter of fact, they'll go lower to a worse realm if they continue their tirade. No one from the other side can hurt you. And we've been brainwashed as good Christians and good Jews to not, you know, when someone dies, you know, put a slab over it or make saints out of them. And that's what's so dysfunctional. You know, we have a right to tell the good, bad, and ugly of the dead. And that's what, you're having a lot of trouble with the brainwashing of the last 5,000 years of the Judeo-Christian tradition that told us not to speak up about the dead. You can say it, you can heal it. And you will come to that place of feeling safe. You will. I promise you, you will. And again, you have to, eventually we have to go through this alone. And that's why I didn't see a psychiatrist. I didn't see a therapist. The universe said to me, you went through this alone as a child. Who was holding your hand helping you when you were a kid? Nobody. If a child could face this by themselves and manage to look normal in the outside world, then you can face this as a grown woman all by yourself. And when you face it and you realize you get through it, and it's not okay it was done to, and it's not okay people didn't protect us, it's not okay. But the point is, some of us have been born into dysfunction to end it. And I think that's what we're trying to do, end the dysfunction. And in the history of the world, the amount of children who have been sexually abused is horrific. It's astronomical numbers.
Well, I passed on dysfunction, not abuse, but I passed on my dysfunction to my son, who has passed it on to my 2-year-old grandson, who's in a potentially terrible situation. And
again, we can end it now. You can try. I mean, we can't.
How do I end it if he's already a grown up and has a kid?
By healing yourself now, by apologizing for what you could have or should have done better, for what, you know, why you did what you do, so the person can come to a place of compassion for you, and do the best you can to heal yourself. Mm-hmm. That's how we do the most healing. When we heal ourselves, we become a beacon of light for the world to see. And there are always things that we could have done better, but sexually abused people are filled with rage. They're filled with rage. They become drug addicts, alcoholics. God knows what they become, because it's a very, very hard thing to face. And again, in order to end dysfunction, we have to be the dysfunction. We have to do it first, and we have compassion for the people who hurt us. So know that it's not too late. It's not too late. It's never too late to heal or to help others heal. And don't look back.
They talk about, forgiving the people that did this to you. I don't feel like I ever want to do that or need to do that.
Well, you
heal.
Could forgive the people, but not the actions. The actions are not forgivable. You do not have to forgive the actions. Forgive the person. It had to be done to them or they wouldn't have done it to us. And you have to forgive the people who didn't protect us because they didn't see what was happening. And sexually abused people gravitate to each other, and they can't see what was done to them, so they can't see what's being done to you. It's a very vicious cycle. And that see no evil makes people not see what's going on under their noses. So, again, you don't have to forgive the actions. We forgive the people. You can forgive them until on the other side. You write them a letter while you have a right to be angry at them. And you get it out of your system. But it happened in the past, and what we have to do is live in the now, live today, and stop looking back.
I guess I'm in the rageful phase right now, and I just...
Good, I'm glad. You should be angry.
...need to not forgive them. I have one last question, because I know it's almost your time, is they talk about the inner child all the time, and...
Mm-hmm.
Talk about reparenting her, and actually the word parent is like a trigger word for me, and I'm having trouble with that whole thing about how to deal with it, because I'm afraid my little girl will come out and take over my life or something, and I'll disappear, or I don't know.
You mean the little inner child in you? No, the little inner child in you is beautiful. You have to embrace her. Imagine how creative we were in our thinking to be able to go about our life and look normal when horrific things were being done to us. How amazing was that child? And you come to embrace and love that child.
Why do I hate her?
We hate her because we hate her because we think it happened to us because we were pretty. We think it happened to us because we were bad, because, it has to be us who is bad, not the person who's done it to us. So there's a lot of self-hatred in sexually abused people. But the point is, it would have happened to us if we looked like turtles. It would have happened to us because we were in that family or in that environment. And so we have to stop hating the child. It was not the child who did anything wrong. It was the grown-ups who did something wrong to that child. And that sexual abuse is a combination of love and trust and betrayal. It has to be someone you love and you trusted who betrays you. It is the worst crime committed against a child. It's a sin as big as genocide, because you destroy people when you do that. And I just try to tell people you can get to the other side of it. And again, you're not the only one. The number of people, 80 people a week come here with the same problem. And they're all walks of life, rich, poor, smart, dumb, educated, uneducated. It seems to have no line of demarcation. And so it's made me realize how large and massive the problem is when I thought I was the only one. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. Unfortunately, you're not the only one. There's a lot of people. And if you just try to work at it a little bit each day, you have a right to be angry. Love yourself the way you love your son. If somebody did this to your son, how mad would you be? You'd be furiously angry. And I promise you, it gets better. It gets better. It's as if it happened to me in a past life. It does not affect me as if it happened in this life anymore, although I spent 8 years in agony. So I can't say it's easy. But I can see people through what took me 8 years and 6 months to a year. So it is a necessary. You do it by just saying, God, tell me the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. I'm ready. And let what reveals be revealed to you. Read the book, The Courage to Heal. And you might be surprised how many other people could share their story with you and help you too.
Okay.
I'm glad you called in tonight, and thank you so much for sharing your story. It's very painful to ever speak about this, especially in a public venue. I don't very often speak about it publicly, but I know it's an important issue.
Okay.
Well, good
thank
luck
you
to you.
So
Leah, call in
me.
And let us know. We love you so much. You know that.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay,
Nicole, so we went the good night. We went the gamut today from one extreme to the next of life.
Oh, my goodness, we did.
And, you know, I hope it helped Leah. Again, we all have to share our stories because it helps other people. It's how they heal to know that someone else went from one end to the other end of life, and they managed to survive, and they managed to be okay. Well, Nicole, I look forward to next week. Thank you for helping me, as always.
Of course, Cindy. It is always my pleasure. You did a wonderful job tonight. And I'm going to be hitting you up with an email about our little video here probably sometime this week. All right?
Okay. Thank you so much.
No worries. And thank you guys for listening. And, again, Cindy is a wonderful author, and she's got a brand-new book out there on the market. And please go to Amazon.com.
Why good people can't leave bad relationships. And boy, did we see, there's a lot of bad relationships out there.
Oh, yeah, I'd say.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. All right,
well,
guys.
Thank you,
Nicole. Have a good week, Cindy.
Good night. Good night.